Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Ryan, Vice President, Administration and Finance with the Millennium Challenge Corporation. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. Mike, how does the MCC make sure that compacts with partner countries are going to produce the results that will satisfy the U.S. taxpayers and meet the goals of the MCC?
Well, I think that the U.S. taxpayer has shown the willingness to fund humanitarian assistance and assistance to poor people as long as the overhead is not too high and as long as the goals are worthy and the people that really need the assistance receive it. To ensure that we meet some of these expectations, MCC forms a transaction team whose members work closely with representatives from the country developing a compact proposal. Our teams include people with a range of pertinent expertise in economics, law, and the appropriate technical areas such as engineering or agriculture. We may also have someone who's an expert on gender issues, for example, or other social issues or even the environment. Partner country representatives are expected to engage in wide consultation with members of the public and civil society in their own countries to ensure their compact proposals reflect needs identified by their own people and the poorest among them, and that the solutions are likely to work best for them. MCC transaction team members evaluate all parts of a proposal and work with partner country representatives to develop practical, well-designed programs that incorporate steps to measure and evaluate results. MCC's investment committee, on which I have a vote, also plays an important role. It's chaired by the deputy CEO and is composed of MCC's senior officials. The MCC committee considers all aspects of compact development and votes up or down any aspect along the way. MCC's board of directors, of course, has the final vote on a compact. The best designed compact programs earn the support of the investment committee first and then the board of directors by incorporating meaningful evaluation of results and showing the promise of reducing measurably the number of people living in poverty. And I might add, all of our discussions of the size of our staff and the amount of money that we put into overhead, I think is an important one because we try to keep the overhead fairly low.
Now, Mike, as the CFO, many of our listeners may find it interesting that the MCC has identified that the Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990 and the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act of 1996 and various other financial laws and regulations do not cover your operations. What is MCC's basis for this position, and does the MCC plan to follow at least the spirit, if not the letter, of those laws because they make good business sense?
Actually, Al, we do manage our business according to the mandates of these laws and regulations. As we've said several times, we're small and organized as a federal corporation rather than as a typical independent agency, and we were established after many of these laws were enacted. But we comply with them, however, because we're part of the executive branch and because they make good business sense. For example, we issued our financial statements on November 15th with the rest of the federal government, and I might add we got a clean opinion on that, and we intend to do similar things in the future. There have been a number of government management reforms enacted in legislation in recent years, most of them aimed at focusing agencies on managing for results and enhancing accountability for program outcomes. I'd like to think that MCC was designed to accomplish both of these ends, so it is not a stretch for us to follow the course outlined in legislation.
Mike, on a similar topic, a key element of all compact development and execution is fiscal accountability. You know, the mechanisms and processes that assure that funds are managed properly and procurements are undertaken in a fair, open, and transparent manner. However, some of the compact countries do not perform accounting on an accrual basis by recording commitments and obligations. Would you elaborate on the guidance provided to compact countries and requirements placed on those countries, and how has MCC handled this situation?
Well, Pete, that's a question that's going to warm accountants' hearts all over the city this morning. MCC has a Department of Accountability, which is responsible for these matters, and my department, of course, supports their work. Consistent with our model of country ownership, of MCC-funded projects, compact countries must have internationally recognized system of accounting in place. It does not have to be identical to the U.S. model, but it has to be recognized. We are constantly refining our approaches to this and expect to see continued improvements in the future. For example, we require compact countries to have a fiscal agent and a procurement agent that we consider to be technically qualified. While some countries might not use accrual accounting, the accountable entity, which is the organization set up in the country to carry out the compact by the government of that country, the accountable entity, often referred to as an MCA, set up by the government of a compact country, must provide us with regular estimates of their cash needs. And these actually can serve as a surrogate for accruals. And indeed, we did an accrual in our financial statements, just like every other federal entity, on November 15th, as I mentioned before.
Well, Mike, we're glad we can get the hearts of the accountants warmed up this morning.
Let's not warm them too much.
The USAID, Office of Inspector General, identified vulnerabilities affecting the MCC program in several criteria areas, including procurement, cash management, and disbursement, that may adversely impact its financial operations. For example, the IG identified that the MCC Cape Verde compact had risks in the areas of cash management and procurement. Could you elaborate on the MCC strategy for mitigating such risks and vulnerabilities? Specifically, has the MCC established policies and procedures for evaluating disbursement requests submitted by recipient countries to ensure that the amounts disbursed are only for immediate cash needs?
Sure. First of all, I have to point out that we have a very collaborative relationship with our IG. And I personally engage in conversation with IG staff on many issues, including the one you're asking me about. And while we do not always agree, we have received many useful recommendations that have caused us to improve our procedures. And we've been working on some exciting, at least exciting to me, possibilities to enhance mechanisms for getting funding out to compact countries. Our current approach requires quarterly disbursement requests from a country. It comes into MCC, we consider it, and we say yes to the funding. It's justified under the compact, or we ask questions. But we disperse on a monthly basis, asking the country to project their cash needs for the coming month, as I mentioned before. However, we're in consultation with the Department of Treasury right now to see if we might use their web-based online system for making payments worldwide. They call this system ITS. This would enable us to require the fiscal agents I mentioned previously overseas to request payments based on specific invoices and to justify disbursements in a systematic way in real time. In addition, we're investigating to see if there might not be a private sector solution that would provide a global payment solution as well. Treasury is interested in working with us on a solution in either case. And if we can do this, I believe we'll address the IG's concerns that you've mentioned before. I'd also like to be able to try a pilot as early as January 2007, so quite soon, with one or two countries to see how this actually might work in reality.
Michael, we talked earlier about some of the interagency collaboration, and we know that the MCC has outsourced much of its administrative functions, including human resource and payroll management. But does the MCC recognize the value of implementing an integrated human resource and payroll system? And can you elaborate on the status of this effort and the overall strategy to forge an integrated system that reduces the reliance on manual processes and enhances your interface with the MBC systems?
Well, that's a great question. I mentioned before our interest in keeping overhead down, and of course, manual processes are done by people, and people are overhead. So we want to cut down on these things. They also introduce errors, as everyone knows, and we'd like to do as much as possible automatically and with an integrated system. We get great service from Interior's National Business Center, but it does not have an integrated system at this time. I understand they have long-term plans to make it integrated in the future, but at the current time, it's simply not. The benefits of integration are especially important for a small organization like MCC. We do not have the personnel to make the multiple entries required by a non-integrated system, especially as we take on more compacts in more countries. We will be engaging consultants soon to perform an analysis of how MCC might best achieve full integration of its financial management, and also, I hope, a reasonable time frame for achieving it. You know, I am intrigued by efforts to engage private sector organization as a center of excellence to supplement governmental centers of excellence. I am very familiar with the competition that's been going on at EPA, and I'm looking very forward to see the results of that competition for running their financial system. It's something that I saw at the beginning of when I was at EPA. And now I read recently that OPM is also looking for a private-public competition in this matter, and I think that's really healthy and something that might work very well for MCC.
What does the future hold for the Millennium Challenge Corporation? We will ask Michael Ryan, Vice President, Administration and Finance with the Millennium Challenge Corporation, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.